What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD, and host of Talking with TD. He's the magic man here in Nashville sports media. TD, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How's it going?
Doing very well. Hope you are as well. And TD, if you're a Titans fan looking up at this matchup against Chicago coming up on Sunday, what scares you the most about this game as you evaluate the Bears?
I think the biggest thing is their defense. And it's just the fact that they have a total game record up front in Khalil Mack. And he's a guy that can make a play that can really change the course of the game. So I think that's a big thing. And they move him from left to right. So more than likely he'll get plenty of opportunities coming from the defensive right side, which means he'll be going against Tyson Braylo, you know, and that's not really a solid matchup for the Titans, but, you know, to Sembrello's credit, he's done a solid job filling in for Taylor Lewan. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. That's the main thing that I would focus on, but you can't overlook the fact that they have an absolute playmaker in Eddie Jackson at the safety position. And he's a guy, he gets his hands on the ball, he's a lot of times going to score a touchdown. So that's something to be concerned about as well.
So, TD, let's say Taylor Lewan never got hurt and we were looking at this game, matchup. Do you think he'd be just left alone with Khalil Mack in a game like this?
I do. And they've done that multiple times with other premier edge rushers, so it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look at how many times J.J. Watt and Taylor Lewan one-on-one went at it, you know, and there's a respect level between those two because of how well they've done against each other. So I definitely think Khalil Mack would be a guy that Lewan would be charged with going against one-on-one.
That'd be fun to watch if it was just those two on an island. So in reality, if he's over there, and again, I think either side he's on, you have to know, right? But how much does that affect an offense, or how much do you think it'll affect this offense Sunday just to have to account for him?
Yeah, it'd be major. And you saw what a guy can do off the edge against the run defense or running attack when you watched the Steelers with TJ Watt, what he was able to do. So when you have a guy that could come off the edge, crash down, and get in that backfield before Derrick Henry could get running, that will hurt the rushing game. But then also, obviously, he speeds things up from a protection standpoint. You know, that guy will get in the backfield and he'll make that clock that Tannehill has go a little bit faster, and that could cause high throws, it could cause off-target throws. So he impacts the game majorly.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what did you make of the move by the Titans to bring in Desmond King? And if he plays on Sunday, what sort of an impact do you think he could have right away, even though he won't have much time to have practice or to have even been on the field with this team?
Yeah, it was a solid move. I don't think that anyone should say, hey, you know, they got a lockdown defensive back. He's not that, but he's still a solid player, and he's someone that could help. He does a really good job of blitzing, so I think that is a way that he would help if he played this week, you know, because you could put in a couple packages that have him coming off the edge. He's a solid player when it comes to that. I actually drew up Whiteboard Wednesday. I drew up a play in which he was able to drop into, he swooped in on an outbreaking route from the guy on the outside of him and picked it off. And that's something that Nick Foles, he really likes to do that. He likes to push the ball outside of the numbers on those 10-yard outs, the comebacks and those type of things. And a lot of times that's a route that's being run by the outside guy. And in this case, what I saw with King, he was lined up over the slot, and he just swooped in and picked it off. And it was kind of like one of those situations where they baited the quarterback into throwing it because the corner on the outside was playing off. So you get that type of instinct. You get that type of playmaking ability. It ended up being a pick six, 42 yards, and that was against the Seahawks. And, you know, that was a solid performance that he had on that particular play. So that's a good part that you'll get. They need more playmakers on that defense, so he should be able to help out from that perspective.
Do you think it's – I mean, obviously he's a veteran. He's been playing this year, you know, that he can do all the mental stuff, you know, like he's been doing this week. I mean, do you think it's likely we'll see him at least off the bench or at least be active one of the 48 Sunday?
I don't think it's out of the ordinary. You know, as you mentioned, he's a veteran, and he's been in the Zoom meetings. And you could always have a – you don't have to have the whole defensive playbook open to him. There could always be a portion. And basically every week you have a condensed version of the playbook anyway, you know, for what applies to the team you're playing. So they could condense it even further. Long story short, yeah, for sure. I think it's a good possibility that he plays and – you know, he could be effective, and it's not like he's not in shape. He had been doing what he had to do in L.A., you know, outside of some of the things with the meetings and the punctuality. But I think it's not out of the question at all to see him on Sunday.
TD, we knew this was going to be a really important year for Corey Davis, the Titans not picking up his fifth-year option. What do you make of what you've seen so far from Corey Davis in the season that he's having?
Oh, well, he's playing with confidence. That's the first thing that pops out. And a good example, and I actually wrote about this, he had the touchdown against the Bengals, outstanding over it, reached up, grabbed it, got his toes down in bounds, and the ref called it incomplete. And he just smoothly got up, looked at the ref, said, oh, it's a catch, and pointed at the big screen, you know, and told him to watch it. And to me, that's confidence. That's swagger. And that's something that a lot of people have wanted to see from Corey Davis. And then you just look at that game. You know, he smoked William Jackson a few times. You look at the out and up that he had. You look at the there was a 24-yard pass he caught. Also, so he's playing really good football. You know, the consistency, I don't think that's necessarily his fault, right, because it just the way that game plan is, the hot hand gets it, and it shifts from game to game. But he does have two 100-yard receiving games. So that's definitely something to take note of, because up until this year, he had a total of two 100-yard receiving games. So there's a lot of, you know, positive coming out of Corey Davis and what he's doing, contested catches, everything like that. He's a more reliable pass catcher. I think it's really good to see him, you know, start to really show that ability. And it's going to be interesting just what this Titans team is stuck. What do they do? You know what I mean? I think they should definitely re-sign Corey Davis, but you got to find the money to do it. So that's something that you kick that can down the road, but right now he's making a good case for himself.
So, TD, this Bears defense, you know, we've talked about Mack and Jackson. I mean, Akeem Hicks, you got Roquan Smith. They got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
The rush D numbers haven't been great. I know sometimes that can be deceiving. What is your evaluation of that aspect of the defense and this matchup against Derrick Henry?
Yeah, it's hard to understand that. You know, they're giving up 120 yards per game, and that's definitely not something that you would expect when you see all those playmakers. I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to their aggressiveness. Teams are using that against them. Roquan Smith is a very good linebacker, very instinctive GPS for the football, but sometimes you could use that against them. And that's what I've seen in some of it. And there's still, you know, some tackling issues as well.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, as you look at Nick Foles, obviously we've seen good versions of Nick Foles. We've seen really bad versions of Nick Foles. He's turning the ball over a lot so far this season since taking over as starting quarterback
What do you see when you evaluate Nick Foles, and what do you make of that matchup for the Titans defense going up against this Bears offense?
I think it works in their favor because Foles is not really one of those quick passers. It's not something that you have like going against the Steelers, going against the Bengals last week. It's he diagnoses quickly, but he has a bit of a windup. So it's a little bit harder for him to throw the ball quickly. He does, after all that being said, do a solid job with RPOs. That's something that even dated back to his early days with the Eagles when he had 27 touchdowns and two interceptions in the season, you know, under Chip Kelly. He's always been really good at RPO. So that's something to definitely watch. I think, you know, he's someone that likes to push the ball down the field. He's not always able to match up with Darnell Mooney, and that has been an issue. Mooney is a really solid down-the-field receiver. He worked out in this area. Derek Mason trained him, you know, so you know he's on point as far as being a playmaker, but they're not connecting. So I think that's an issue. But Foles will, he'll put the ball in harm's way. And he's the guy that believes that he could fit it in places that he shouldn't try to. And I think that'll help the defense. But at the same time, he's someone that will always give his receiver a chance to make a play. So just like last week, A.J. Green, you know, the back shoulder throws and being able to go up and make contested catches, that's something to be aware of. Again, this week with Allen Robinson, who's a bigger receiver, the Titans are obviously familiar with him, but he's a playmaker, and he and Foles, they have hooked up multiple times.
So, TD, I know we're very anxious to see what things look like on that practice field at 11 today. Mike Garafalo has a report yesterday that makes it sound like, you know, Clowney could potentially miss this game. And of course, now last week he missed Wednesday, Thursday, came out Friday. He's kind of had that knee and he's been missing a lot of practices. But what do you make of his situation? And I guess, like, to me, if the Titans knew that it was going in a bad direction for Clowney, why would they then make this the week to cut Beasley?
Yeah, and that's why you have to question. I don't want to say question, but you have to wonder, you know, how accurate that report was, because it doesn't seem to make sense for them to do that, right? To release Beasley, not knowing what Clowney's situation is going to be. It's just a wait and see, man. Like, we'll see at 11 if Clowney is out there. And even if he's not out there, that doesn't mean that he won't be able to play on Sunday, because the thing you got to think about, they have to turn around quickly and play on Thursday. So maybe what they're doing is just keeping him off of that knee as much as possible. Maybe, and this is speculation, it's not a report, but we could say maybe there's swelling in there or something in there that, you know, it comes up after he works on it, and they want to keep that down so they keep him off of his knee during practice so he could play on Sunday and then, you know, have maybe one practice or not practice at all to play on Thursday. You never know what the situation is. So I think, you know, it's really going to show a lot today, as you mentioned. And the other question is the Dory Jackson. That's a big one. So we're going to be looking for 25 and 99 when we get to practice. Those are the first ones I want to look for.
And then we can tweet at 12:20. We can tweet at 12:20 and 01 seconds. That's right.
Right. Put it in your drafts and tweet it. Or you could do like good old John Glennon, boy. He's quick draw with it. 12:19:57.
That's right. Get it out there just a little bit early. ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. TD, appreciate you as always, my man. Thanks for the great info.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we come back, what do we make of Jadeveon Clowney's situation? Do we think he really could miss this game on Sunday against Chicago? We'll dive into that next. But first, 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9 is your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Tune in to 102.5 The Game for leaderboard updates next week on Thursday and Friday. Then on Saturday and Sunday, which is November 14th and 15th, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.